fun together.
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7 The Fox.
And we are off rocking and rolling on a terrific Tuesday edition of Let's Talk right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. It's Jeff, it's Scott, and there's a third person in the studio this morning.
Yeah, we're going to do things a little differently.
I like it.
All right, we're going to jump right in. We'll have some open line time later. We'll have our normal sports update later. Just sit tight for that.
You look familiar. I just can't. If only I could.
Geez, with a start.
I think you need the second syllable, second letter there. Local Congress.
You know, I could go for some tea. Anybody have any tea? Look at that. He's got the tea for me here.
I think you're on it.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
All right, we're welcoming local Congressman Glenn Thompson. Now, we just made this connection yesterday by chance, and I don't know, you're just hanging around or...
I am. I'm out of Washington. That means I am on the road yesterday, all weekend, and then yesterday circling, Senator Clinton, Tioga, down to finished up in Snyder last night. Now I'm heading to Armstrong after I'm kicking off my terrific Tuesday with you two.
I feel like any day you're not in Washington has to be a good day, but that's maybe just.
Although I got to tell you, Jeff, it has been outstanding to be a part of delivering, keeping promises that. You know, really the majority of the American people are looking forward to the things that we are getting done. It's exciting. It's a part of party making history. We've passed legislation out of the House, which is the odds aren't good there, right? Because the margin is so tight.
For sure.
And basically everybody thought, wow, they're not going to do anything because, we're down to 1-2 vote margin. But we have done more with a 1-2 vote margin than what I've seen done in a very long time. And some of the most transformational pieces of legislation, I would say, going back to that when they passed the Constitution.
Yeah. Along those lines, I have two questions for you, and then we'll get into the issues. But one, just the overall, I guess, mood in Washington and in Congress in particular, does it feel as fractured as the country feels when you see the juxtaposition of the parade on Saturday and all of the No King protests in the actual Congress? What is the mood with the two sides?
Well, for my friends that were in, which is a smaller number, they're into the No Kings. I want to remind them we have an official holiday for that. It's called Independence Day.
Yes.
4th of July, we celebrate separation from a monarchy and a king. It's a little schizophrenic. I mean, there are, I even had, as you know, I have the privilege of chairing the House Agriculture Committee. First member of Congress from Pennsylvania, 170 years to do that. And normally, I'm able to keep the team together, both sides of the aisle. We're focused on rural America. We're focused on the rural economy. We're focused on, obviously, America's farmers and ranchers and foresters. But even within that realm or even within that jurisdiction, I had Democratic members that voted against the first part of the Farm Bill, which was amazing because they helped to construct it. Now, it was put in with budget reconciliation, and budget reconciliation is always partisan. It's just the nature of the beast, right? The beauty of budget reconciliation is the Senate only needs 50 plus one. And so I really didn't have any expectations on that. But, we're doing great work together. I'll give you an example. Most recently, two bills that passed with bipartisan support. The first, it was the Clarity Act, which is cryptocurrency. I actually have jurisdiction over cryptocurrency when it comes to tokens, Bitcoin and other digital assets that are traded as a commodity, because my committee that I chair has oversight over the Commodities Futures Trading Corporation. That was a good bipartisan vote. We've been working on that bill together for a long time. We passed it out of committee. I think it was like 47-6. Something like that. I'll take a vote like that any day.
Yeah.
You know, and so there's one example. Another one is, it's got to be one of my favorites, actually, and we're going to get this done, is restoring whole milk and flavor in our schools. Whole milk for healthy kids. Kids need that nutrition. They need those 13 essential elements. There's no beverage better. Now, I get it. Some kids have lactose intolerant and allergies, and there's alternatives for them. That's already in law. But that is a bill that passed out of, now not out of agriculture, but education workforce. Again, a good, strong, bipartisan vote. And I'm proud to say it's also passed bipartisan out of the Senate Agriculture Committee.
Donald Trump didn't come out and publicly say that he's for whole milk, did he? Because, my God, we're going to have protests. There's no way we can allow milk in the schools. What are we?
Unfortunately, the people that let their emotions run away with themselves is incredible. Although I'd have no problems with, I'd be glad to stand with with President Trump as he had a milk mustache.
Yes, indeed. I'm kind of flippant with the being out of Washington is a good day, but. When you walk into the Capitol building, is there a special, I mean, there has to be a special feeling that you are, as you said, maybe even more so now, but in any time, you are part of an amazing history of the greatest experiment the world has ever seen in government.
It is, and it's a model that's been used by people living in tyranny and in chaos and violence around the world that everybody wants to replicate. And so it's an honor. I mean, when you're standing at any time, but let's just say at dawn, and the dome, you know, and that dome is lit up, and you think about the history and the people that have walked before me and the opportunity that I have to, you know, to participate in making history. It's pretty special. And you know what? And you got to work to make it bipartisan. I don't ask people to compromise their principles and values. I mean, there's a lot that I don't agree with, but I always welcome them to the table. And to me, that's the way to do it. What we do in a partisan way sometimes doesn't last. We've seen that throughout history.
Yeah.
But if you can make it bipartisan from the beginning and focus on what we can agree upon, and it's usually pretty good, and it makes a big difference in people's lives, and it is sustained. It lasts. I'll throw out a couple of things that I've done with that, with starting with career and technical education. You know, that waiting list now in our career and tech ed schools. You look at CPI, you look at any of the other schools around here, and these young people are graduating with a certificates and a diploma in one hand and multiple job offers in the other.
Yeah.
And it's incredible. And these are great family sustaining jobs, and they're essential to our world today. And it was with President Trump. I've worked on it under different presidents, but I was able to accomplish that bill, modernizing career and technical education, in 2018 under President Trump. And being a kid from Howard, to stand in the Oval Office and to have him sign that legislation into law. And that was a bill that was voted on five times, three times in the Senate, twice in the House. So you're looking at a total of each, you know, that's what, 535 potential votes. In five votes, not a single person ever voted against that bill, because I brought them to the table ahead of time. Plus, more importantly, I did in a tripartisan way, and I brought students, parents, employers, people that signed the front of a paycheck, not the back of a paycheck, to the table, and that's how we wrote the bill in what I like to call a tripartisan way.
Congressman, I got a whole list of questions here.
Oh, there's nothing to talk about. What's going on in the world?
Yeah, it's slow time these days.
We'll go from light to heavy, so to speak. All right, the whole milk bill I have on my list. All right, I've said on this program 100% for that bill. I don't know why we changed that whenever that was, 12 years ago or whatever it was.
Well, it's because they blamed whole milk with making kids fat. And you know the interesting part? The studies have all shown, what's that test? That
BMI, yeah.
BMI.
Body mass index, yeah.
I never do well on that test, by the way. I fail that one.
That's a word.
But
right.
The interesting thing is the average BMI has gone up since we eliminated whole milk as an option. Because kids are going to drink something and tends to be a sugary substitute. And most got natural sugars in it. You know, and our brain works off of sugar. Sugar is not a poison, by the way, despite what somebody might say. That's what it was. It was all really false information that it was making our kids obese. And that was why back in 2010, they eliminated it as an option in our schools.
So who would vote against your bill? I don't know. It's such a no-brainer.
Well,
who would vote against?
There's a few folks. Some folks that are who believe that it's healthier to drink nut juices. No such thing as almond milk. As much as I held an almond, I don't know where to squeeze it to get the milk.
I keep trying to milk. Yep, I have them at home, and I cannot get a drop out of them.
And I have nothing yet. I mean, I love my almond. As Ag the Chair of the Agriculture Committee, I love my almond farmers around the country. But it is a different beverage. So some people that would hang on to that. There's others, Jeff, that just wouldn't let go. They wouldn't let go of the fact that they passed this back in 2010, and so once you they don't want to flip flop, even though that they know that the science has changed. Now it's a minority. We're winning this right in this vote, and then there's a third element of people that would injure kids and dairy farmers in rural communities in order to protect bureaucracy. You know, the Dietary Advisory Council, which has always been wrong. Every time they come out with a new recommendation, like these are the folks that went from the pyramid to the plate and telling you at one time they had eggs were going to kill you and red meat would kill you and sure too much sugar would kill you. And back in 2010, I guess it was dairy's turn that whole milk was going to kill you, make you fat. And you know what? And they're always wrong. There's always and so that's the other thing we're going to do. We're going to reform that dairy advisory, dietary council process within the Farm Bill so it reflects facts, data, and real science.
They're wrong even more often than the CBO, I think. Close, maybe, but.
No, but they have more, but I think they are because they have more of an impact, right? They could ruin various aspects, and they have almost ruined various aspects of our agriculture industry. They're are consistent, though. They're consistently wrong with, you know, because it's just a handful of people. They're unelected bureaucrats. There's no accountability. And so I'm very pleased that we've overcome that on dairy, and I'm even more pleased that we're going to provide some reforms within my farm bill to really bring some integrity to that process.
All right. Now let's do a follow-up there. All right. Use the word reform. Every week we seem to see a story coming out now. Well, we need to reform this, and we need to reform the CDC and this group and that council you mentioned and so on. Is everything need reformed? I mean, is like Washington just totally broken? It's mind-boggling, all this stuff.
Yeah, you know what's broken is when we don't look at things with a reforming attitude. We should always be looking to reauthorize. And reauthorize really means to reform, to update, to modernize, to bring it up to, the 21st century. And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, when we're doing our jobs, we should all do that. I think in your personal lives, you should always be looking at what can you do better? What can you do more accurately? What can you do more successfully? That will bring more benefit. And everybody deserves government that does that. And that's what we're doing. And it's a lot of work. It's some hard work. But you know what? You get paid to do the easy stuff and the hard stuff. And so I'm very pleased. On the agriculture side, that's part of what I'm leading. We are doing the most transformative farm bill in probably history. We're actually putting the farm back in the farm bill. I have some colleagues at Wine that I'm blowing up and breaking up the bipartisan coalition of food and nutrition and agriculture. I got news for you. That got blown up a long time ago at the cost of the American farmer. That's why in a given farm bill, 80% of it is nutrition. And some of that has obviously over the years has come at the cost of compromising the safety net for our most essential industry, which is agriculture. So that got blown. It is definitely not a, let's put it in wrestling terms. That's like putting the heavyweight out with a 98 pounder. I'm showing my age. That was the weight that we wrestled. Okay.
Yes, back then.
And that's not a fair fight. Right? And we've really done our due diligence and listening to the American people. That's why I've traveled around the country, 42 states, one territory. As I like to say, the territory is Puerto Rico. The only place I needed an interpreter was Mississippi, no, not true. I love my Mississippi farmers. They maybe need an interpreter to understand what I was saying. So reform should be, we always should be looking at how can we do things better.
And more efficiently. What I think Donald Trump and folks that have been elected are trying to do, they're saying blow up the system. I want to see the bureaucracy get blown up. And specifically, when I talk about the bureaucracy, and you talked about it, it's the unaccountable, my interpretation, but it is folks that get put in positions, they are assigned to positions, and they think... And in large part, they think they run the show because nobody has stopped them from running the show for decades. We see it at the state level. We see it at the federal level. And that is what has to change because they get into... and I don't even think it's necessarily a malicious intent, but you get comfortable. Just as you said, I think one of the things to bring back to wrestling again, but it's, Cale Sanderson and that staff could easily rest on their accolades at this point. Say, hey, we know what we're doing. Go out there and do what we've done. That is not what they do. They are, I can't tell you how on top of the latest information on sleep, the latest information on nutrition, the latest little tricks with, technical aspects of the game. All of that. They are constantly learning, constantly challenging themselves and the team. All right, let's see if we can add this to the overall repertoire. I just think we have too many people that got into positions, and it's like, all right, this is the way we do things, and I think they're lazy. I think they're mentally lazy.
Well, they're just comfortable with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and why would you want to upset? Sometimes it gets to the point where it is intentionally abusive, and it becomes a fiefdom, and you want to protect it. I think Cale's attitude, his team's attitude, his coaching staff, that's the attitude that we need in government at all levels.
Yes.
They challenge us. What can we do better today and what can we do better for tomorrow? Always looking to what's over the horizon. And so I'm real excited. I was doing a speech, out in Venango County. In Warren County. It was in Warren. And, the speaker before me was just going on about Doge and that they had saved, they had found waste, fraud, and abuse and inefficiencies, $170 billion. It was my turn to speak next, and I stood up and said, the Doge is a JV team. The Agriculture Committee has found $300 billion that we have put into the one big, beautiful bill of how we can improve things. And we did it without really negative hurting anyone. We haven't been taking away any benefits. We just made for better delivery, more efficient. We did identify and take away waste, fraud, and abuse. And it wasn't just on the federal level. We addressed the state. I addressed states around the country. In the state of Pennsylvania, I'm very embarrassed. Under Governor Shapiro, our error rate for the administration of the SNAP program, the error rate is 17%. 17%. That hurts the taxpayers, but it also hurts the people living in poverty that are depending on these benefits. And I'll share why real quickly. Number one, if you get an underpayment, you don't get it. Your EBT card isn't an underpayment, so you don't have the supplemental resources. You know, SNAP doesn't provide all of your food, just a supplemental part. So you're missing out on a monthly basis. And you know what's even worse? If you get an overpayment, because if you get an overpayment, you're going to spend it in 1 month. I don't begrudge that. If I was on that program, and Penny and I actually were on the WIC program when we were first married, I get it. It is important when you're struggling financially. But if you get an overpayment, the states come back in 3, 4, 5, 6 months later, and they claw it all back. So that means you probably had 1 month where you had all these more groceries, so you're not sure what happened. And then 6 months from now, you have nothing, no supplemental support. And that might go for a couple months without any. So how we fix that? We put in, we're holding states accountable. I put into the bill a state share. They've never had skin in the game. And the old adage, if you're spending somebody else's money, you're reckless. Amen. And that's what the state of Pennsylvania has been doing. And we're putting accountability into this. So it's exciting to be a part of those reforms. And you know what? And I think Pennsylvania, I'm proud to be from the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. I think Pennsylvania will do much better in the future because, you know, we're setting the bar a little higher for them.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break right here. Yep. Local Congressman Glenn Thompson's our guest. Got him for an hour. Whoa. Before you hit the road for wherever you have to go today. So stay tuned. We've got lots more questions. Are you kidding? You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We'll do all of that when we come right back.
We don't just talk sports. We live it. Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
You've got to feed the beast. Whether your beast is a horse, pig, or cow, or a dog or cat, or even the birds, let the Center Hall Farm Store help you feed the beast. And the Center Hall Farm Store can help you get your lawn, garden, and orchard growing strong. Stop on in at 110 West Allison Street in Center Hall, or check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com. And let us help you feed the beast.
Interest rates and inflation are out of control. Is your credit card debt also out of control? It's time to resolve your debt and take back control for a lot less than what you owe. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, then you need to call us right now. Debt Fix Pros can significantly reduce the amount you owe, and you could be debt-free faster than you think.
I knew we had to do something. Our debt was growing.
It was getting out of control, and we just didn't know what to do.
We saw an ad for Debt Fix Pros. We called, and they showed us how fast they could get us out of debt.
It really was amazing, and now we're back in control.
Call now, and we'll show you how easy it is to fix your debt. The call and consultation are free. Call Debt Fix Pros right now. Call 800-930-0388. That's 800-930-0388. 800-930-0388.
Hey, you! Why aren't you helping hang this drywall?
Because I'm the plumber.
How am I supposed to know that?
See? It's right here on my shirt.
Oh, yeah. Now I see it. It's hard to tell who works for me and who doesn't.
I had that problem, too, until I had company shirts printed. Now, it's not a problem.
That's just what I need. Where did you get your shirts printed?
Pamp. They did a great job, and now I can spot my employees right away.
Hey, Joe!
What?
Call Pamp and get those shirts printed for the crew ASAP.
For quality you can see and wear, remember PAMP for customized t-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. PAMP has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
Interest rates and inflation are out of control. Is your credit card debt also out of control?
It's time to resolve your debt and take back control for a lot less than what you owe. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, then you need to call us right now. Debt Fix Pros can significantly reduce the amount you owe, and you could be debt-free faster than you think.
I knew we had to do something. Our debt was growing.
It was getting out of control, and we just didn't know what to do.
We saw an ad for Debt Fix Pros. We called, and they showed us how fast they could get us out of debt.
It really was amazing, and now we're back in control.
Call now, and we'll show you how easy it is to fix your debt. The call and consultation are free. Call Debt Fix Pros right now. Call 800-930-0388. That's 800-930-0388. 800-930-0388.
If you're like me, you have neighbors that have zero-turn mowers, and some are satisfied and others not so much. I've had neighbors come over while I'm mowing with my Kubota and want to try it out. I told Bob and Clyde, you need to get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, for Kubota. I have a Z200 25 horsepower with the simplest operation and a pristine cut every time. Even though I have a lawn and, shall we say, a challenging bank, ditch, and of course the wife's ornamental bushes. If you're trying to decide on a great lawn care machine, get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. At Daughter Equipment, they're experts on Kubota lawn care machines that keep you moving quickly and efficiently. Your destination for Kubota is Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. You may even meet my neighbors, Bob and Clyde.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
It is a Tuesday morning edition of Let's Talk here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Jeff and Scott with you. We'll have some open phone time coming up in the 9 o'clock hour this morning.
Yes, we have to play commercials. We prefer to keep talking, but if we don't play commercials, yeah, the boss gets mad.
Yes, indeed.
So, talking with local Congressman Glenn Thompson this morning for the rest of the hour. All right, let's get to some of the so-called heavy stuff, I guess. All right, the Big Beautiful Bill. What a weird name. The Big Beautiful Bill. Congressman, all the stories that say if the Big Beautiful Bill gets passed, House, Senate, and I guess the Senate wants to do some things and so on before it would ever go to the president and so on, it's going to blow up the debt. It's going to poof. It's going to add way more debt, and that's what we're supposed to be against. What? How do you respond to that?
Well, and it's the one Big Beautiful Bill also, title.
Okay,
and that's what President Trump kept calling it. So that's it is a little odd, but that's what we titled it officially. Now, as an aside, I call it Farm Bill 1.0 because I've got great Farm Bill investments in this that's going to be great for everybody that either produces food, processes agriculture commodities, or consumes food. There's a lot of that going on. Part of it is because President Trump wanted to be able to work without distraction for the next 3.5 years, a little over 3.5 years that he has, of a debt ceiling. And so he was the one that insisted that we put significant historically high debt ceiling limit into this bill. I will say, though, and I understand why he wanted that. I don't think we would have done that otherwise. But that doesn't mean that we have to meet that debt ceiling. You know, it just pushes it out and avoids the distraction so that we can get the things done that actually brings down our debt, that brings down our spending, that makes us more accountable, that makes us more efficient, more productive. So that's why it's in there. It's kind of funny. I had that question last night in Snyder County.
Yep.
At a picnic that I was at. And it's a legitimate question, but it's in there because of President Trump, and I understand why he would like that. It is unusual, but it doesn't mean that we have to accrue that debt. You know, the CBO, You made reference to the Congressional Budget Office. You know, they predicted that this was going to increase the debt. I beg to differ. And it's based on experience. We saw the spending rate and the debt go down under Trump 45 for the first, three years before the plague hit, before COVID, and Governor Wolf at that time shut down the Pennsylvania economy. So we know that these type of policies work financially for the nation and for the benefit of the citizens in terms of actually addressing the debt. And so government is becoming smaller. It's more efficient. This is preventing the largest tax increase in the history of the country. This is actually doing some really novel things when it comes to tax policy above and beyond. Let's just talk about existing tax policy. The fact that we're raising the threshold for the death tax. You know, 98% of family farms will be protected and avoid that death tax, which would cause their farm to go away because the next generation doesn't have the money to buy the family farm back from the federal government. That goes for small businesses and out there. No tax on tips. No tax on overtime. Talk about increasing productivity and we need workforce. And so if that incentivizes, someone to go out, I'm going out work because, my earnings from this point forward, I'm not going to have to pay federal tax on. That's a good thing. If you're a senior, the president made a promise for, no tax on Social Security. I like that idea. But the fact is, Social Security is not eligible to put into budget reconciliation. Doesn't meet the Senate's rules. So the Ways and Means Committee did the next best thing. Instead of you're age 64 and older, you will get an additional $4,000 deduction. That'll bring your taxable income down, so you're taxed at a lower income. And so you're still going to have to pay taxes on some Social Security. If we ever have 60 conservative-minded folks in the Senate, you could get that done. Can't get that done today. There's just no way to take that forward. So it really is a driver of the economy. This is going to put rocket fuel in a positive way to our economy. Everybody's going to benefit from that. And that's just a small portion of what's in that bill that is just so exciting. There's a whole lot more in there.
Now, are you actually cutting the federal budget? I mean, obviously, media is full of stories. Oh, they've slashed jobs here, they've slashed jobs there, and oh my gosh, and the world's going to end, and all this sort of stuff. Can you actually cut this thing? Like, actually cut spending and everything's okay?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It is reducing the expenditures that we have. Now, we're never going to fully address the debt with discretionary spending, mostly because over 60% of spending in this country is mandatory spending. Now, we addressed a lot of mandatory spending in the budget reconciliation bill because that was the only type of spending that you could address. And there were some exclusions. The president won't do anything on Medicare, and Social Security wasn't eligible under this. And it is. And then we're doing different things. In addition to that, we're not stopping. This past week we did a rescission bill. And it was the president and his team provided us recommendations of things to just absolutely cut. There are some things that were zeroed out and other things that were reduced by a significant portion. It was just a small part. It was $9 billion. That passed the House. That was the last thing we passed before we came home on Friday. And it'll be the first of many rescission bills that this administration brings forward. And by rescission, I mean this was approved to be spent before. It hasn't been spent yet, and now it's gone. And now, so that's just in the House. We're sending that to the Senate, and the Senate will be working on this. Senator Thune from South Dakota, good guy. He's now the majority leader. It was a little disappointing. You know, I always feel that we can walk and chew gum at the same time, but because of the one big beautiful bill that they're working on right now, and by the way, they protected all my agriculture investments on the Senate side. I'm really happy about that.
Yeah, that's great.
You know, these are things that we have been cutting for years, and if we risk food insecurity, we risk economic insecurity in rural America, and that's national insecurity. But Senator Thune has said, you know, because of the one big beautiful bill, they're not going to get around to, like, maybe the end of July or later on this rescission bill. I said, no, do this now. Work with purpose. And I will say they are in this week. The Senate, where we're working our districts back here, the Senate is Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I believe they're in Washington and working on the things that they need to do.
Do you think this can get passed by July 4th?
I think so. I think it'd be a great way to celebrate our
sure will.
Our independence in so many different ways going forward. That is the goal. You know, there's a lot of naysayers. Everybody said, well, the House isn't going to be able to do this. It's never going to happen. Well, we proved them wrong, and we sent it. We got our work done. We sent it over to the Senate. The Senate's going to make some adjustments on it. One of the things on the agriculture title, which I wrote, that they didn't change any of the benefits for the investment side. They did on the state share. They did take it down to if a state's able to get their error rate under 6% for SNAP, there would be a 0% state cost share. I can live with that. And then it steps up from there. If your error rate goes up, you're gonna have a penalty. 5, 10, 15, 20% penalty depending on your, so it's a stick and a carrot. And it's an incentive, for the states to do a better job of administering. I have no objections to what the Senate changed. They hadn't felt like they had to do that, and I think it'll be okay.
All right, selfish question of sorts. All right, that $9 billion cut you talked about like a couple minutes ago, public media funding is in that, right? That's part of that $9 billion?
National Public Radio, who was formed back when we had very few radio stations. Today we have over 15,000 radio stations in this nation, including this great radio station. It isn't going to have a negative impact on WPSU. They actually run their station the way they should. I know they don't call it advertising. They call it sponsorships. And Penn State has told me, well, this really isn't going to affect us. You know, but there are stations it will impact. And it's like, you know, we do have over 15,000 radio stations in this nation. It is a different time. It was time to reevaluate that. I was not offended by. Also, and I have these discussions with my friends at WPSU. National Public Radio has such a far left slant when it comes to politics. There's sometimes I want to just drive off the road with some of the things I hear them say, the names that they talk about, conservatives, which is, quite frankly, 80% of my constituents that they're calling names, including myself. So this is not defunding WPSU, obviously. This is National Public Radio, and it's long overdue the time to do this.
But I've mentioned this a bunch of times here. If NPR, which is radio, and PBS, which is television, their news reporting, if they would agree that, okay, yeah, we're left, we need to be much more balanced, we'll start to do that now. If they said they would do that, is it possible that that funding would be restarted or
no?
Or?
I hope not. I mean, they were started at a time when it was a righteous cause, when we, you know, especially in rural America, we just didn't have that kind of news outreach. Growing up, I, you know, living in a trailer for the first 11 years, 12 years of my life in a with an antenna on it, you know, the you know, the public television was one of two channels that we actually got, right? Well, this is a different day today. It's a different age with technology, especially now that we have internet-based media. You know, there's just some things that are... they're just not necessary. Certainly not necessary for the federal taxpayer to subsidize.
Yeah, that's the thing. Even I take the politics out of it. We're at a point where, again, if it is, you know, they'll point to Sesame Street or this program or that program. It's like, yeah, that it's no question, great programming. Go out and get the advertising because you're saying all these people love it, and they do.
Yeah.
Well, go get the support the way every other radio and TV station does.
And they're doing that today. They just don't call it advertising. They call
it
sponsorship.
Underwriting and
Or underwriting, I guess, is the term. I support that. I mean,
absolutely.
There are certain programs I'd underwrite. I resisted forever that Downton Abbey program until my wife made me sit down and watch it, and then we were hooked.
Is part of what is happening, I think we talked about this a little bit last time, but it seems like, and I know you can get into some treacherous territory here, and I've read some different articles, and I think with some valid concerns on private-public partnerships, but it does seem like at a time where we are pretty much up against it when you're talking about the debt and the deficit spending and all of that, where, and again, we have a lot of really innovative private sector folks who can, and obviously most famously now, I guess, Elon Musk, but I mean, there are a lot of people doing a lot of really good things that, yeah, maybe a little federal support here, but then, man, a lot of help back on the backside from the private entities. Would you like to see more of that, I guess, where it's we have joint ventures and it's not, all right, yes, the government has to fund this and that. Yeah. It's like, well, let's see if we can get some funding from other places and maybe make the benefit a little more widespread as well.
Yeah, Jeff, absolutely. In fact, I've been on the cutting edge of that. The piece of legislation that actually President Biden signed that was mine, he signed it his first December in office, and sadly his administration never got around to maybe it's because it was a public-private partnership, they never got around to writing the rules for implementing it. It's called the Sustains Act.
And do we know if he actually signed it? Sorry, that's...
no, that's a whole different topic.
Yes. Sorry, go ahead. I'm
borders on treason when you have somebody that's with the nuclear codes that... that sadly was not mentally competent for at least part of his term. Well, it's called the Sustains Act, and it's conservation. I wrote that bill, and we worked hard. We again, it became law, and it created a public-private partnership when it comes to conservation. And conservation is really important, right? It helps provides tools for farmers to deal with overregulation, ways to keep their soils healthy, which increases productivity and yields. But it also is great for game. You know, creates habitats, so birds and mammals. Sportsmen love it. Ducks Unlimited and groups like that. The Ruffalo Grouse Society. I mean, all those groups. Everybody loves it. And so, the Sustains Act really creates this to where private individuals, corporations, can write checks to USDA, U.S. Department of Agriculture, and all that money has to be used for conservation programs on the ground. And so now that I've got a new Secretary of Agriculture, who's a great partner of mine, Brooke Rollins, I am absolutely confident that they're going to get this up and running. You wouldn't believe some of the corporations have been knocking on my door in the Ag Committee wanting to know, when can we write the checks? Because we want to get our climate credentials, because, you know, conservation helps that, right? It's, you know, agriculture is the climate champion in terms of taking carbon carbon out of the air, making topsoils, so sequestration. And but that was something I've created, and I'm real excited about it. But we have other ones that are out there, too, within my jurisdiction. I just met recently with the Forest Foundation. That was created before my time, but it is a great public-private partnership, and its individuals are really concerned about a healthy forest, and that means ones where we're actually cutting trees down and planting new trees. Why would we want multiple generations of trees? Why? I just challenge anybody to ever raise a teenager. You know, how much food does a teenager eat? Well, that trees are the same way. There are certain ages of these trees that they suck much more carbon out of the air. And so to have a healthy forest and a healthy economy, you need to do good forest management. Well, this is a public-private partnership that helps to promote that above and beyond, supplements what a small part of what the National Forest Service does. And so those are two great examples of public-private partnerships. Another one I throw in there for our area, because my district has more abandoned mine sites than the other 434 districts added together. And I'm proud of that fact, because we provided the coal to fuel the Industrial Revolution and provide for the arsenal of democracy to win two world wars. But we're left with the scars because the federal government said don't reclaim them because we don't know when World War III is coming. And so when you do a abandoned mine reclamation, I think that it's like $10 comes from the private sector and non-governmental agencies, watershed associations. For every dollar the federal government invests, there's $10 that comes to the table. That's another great example, maybe not as formally organized, but another great example of a public-private partnership.
I don't think I knew about that one. That's
pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah, that's very
good. And you wind up with you know, taking water and land that's scarred, and you can turn it into just economic opportunity, habitat. They usually replant those working with sportsmen's group. You know, what do you want to promote? Turkeys, elk, deer, you know, grouse, whatever it might be.
Turkeys, elk, and beer? That's a great mix.
That's not a bad mix.
I like that.
I actually said deer, but that's okay.
Yeah. All right, let's take our break here. I'm going to fascinate on turkey, elk, and beer.
Uh-huh.
Just all in one meal, all right? We're talking with local Congressman Glenn Thompson. We'll take a break because we have to. We have one more segment with the congressman. Plenty of questions. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We'll be right back.
We don't just talk sports, we live it. Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
You've got to feed the beast. Whether your beast is a horse, pig, or cow, or a dog or cat, or even the birds, let the Center Hall Farm Store help you feed the beast. And the Center Hall Farm Store can help you get your lawn, garden, and orchard growing strong. Stop on in at 110 West Allison Street in Center Hall, or check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com. And let us help you feed the beast.
Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox? If you have sales experience, we're looking for new team members to spread the word to local businesses about 98.7 The Fox. Sell advertising with a lot of potential from all of our Fox programs, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and live sports events focused right here in Center County. For more information, contact manager Sam Jordan via email at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Join us here at 98.7 The Fox. Have you checked out our new website, 987thefox.info? When you do, be sure to scroll to the bottom, enter your email address. Then sometime soon, you'll be a 987 The Fox insider with our newsletter feature, thoughts from some of our hosts that you won't get on our shows, messages from sponsors, and even special deals as an insider newsletter exclusive. We'll take good care of your email address, no sharing or selling. Hope you'll join us on 987thefox.info and enter your email address at the bottom. Be an insider, only from 987 The Fox.
Our military heroes deserve our thanks. Patriotic Hearts is there to assist those in need, especially in the transition back to family and civilian life. You can help by donating an unwanted car, truck, SUV, or van. Your donation supports the programs that make a difference in the lives of veterans and those actively serving our country. Call today for a fast, free pickup. Your donation will not only be greatly appreciated, but will also qualify as a tax deduction. Call 800-917-1544. to help our military heroes. Call 800-917-1544. Operators are standing by 24/7. Patriotic Hearts, helping our soldiers and veterans live a better life. Call 800-917-1544. That's 800-917-1544. Together, we can make a difference.
This is Jim Galante from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, join me, Dustin Hawkinsmith, T. Frank Carr, Andy Shea, and Jeff Byers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox and State College. We'll bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more on the Nittany Lions. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Fox Sports 98.7 for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
98.7
The Fox. Would encourage everybody on this Tuesday morning to enjoy a little funky cold Medina. Good way to get the day started.
Did you bring the drink in?
Well, I just finished it up, actually.
Yeah, I was gonna say, there it goes.
Medicinal purposes only, ladies and gentlemen. It is Jeff and Scott. Let's talk on a Tuesday morning. Some open phone time coming up in the 9 o'clock hour.
All right, we got a few more minutes with our guest, local Congressman Glenn Thompson. All right, now we were talking about budget and cutting and all this stuff. You mentioned earlier Social Security, gigantic. You mentioned Medicare. All right, Medicaid is getting lots of attention. And all right, I've got a headline right here from our friends from Spotlight PA. Federal budget bill could strip 300,000 Pennsylvanians of Medicare or Medicaid coverage, push rural hospitals to the brink. Now, you used to work in healthcare.
That's right.
Well, how do you is that accurate?
The first part is people coming off of Medicaid, but only because they now have jobs. One of my principles that I followed with the One Big Beautiful Bill, and specifically Medicaid, not my jurisdiction, that is Energy and Commerce, is that if you can work, you should work. And if you can work, we need you to work as a nation. And so a significant number of those individuals fall into two categories. Really, they're people that, for the first time ever, they'll have work requirements, just like we have since 1977 under Nutrition and the Agriculture Committee. And so some of those, a large portion of those folks will be coming off. Because we're going to provide them an opportunity for education, career and technical education, and it may be apprenticeship, it might be on the job training, which, by the way, they would be paid to do. Because if they're capable of working, they don't have a disability that prevents them from working, and they're between the ages of 18 and 64. They need to be working. We want them to work, and that's a better lifestyle for them than living in poverty, because being on Medicaid, if you're disabled and on Medicaid, nothing's going to change for you. If you're a child on Medicaid, nothing's going to change for you. If you're a senior citizen and on Medicaid, nothing's going to change for you. But that number, I don't know if it's accurate or not, but a significant portion of those are will come off of Medicaid because, you know what, they're going to have a job with better medical coverage. And then the other part, there will be some folks who just, you know what, they're going to refuse the opportunity to do one of three things, because these are the three things we do in ag, and they've replicated with Medicaid. An average of 80 hours a month, okay, so say 20 hours a week, but it could be, you know, as long as you get 80 hours a month average of working. And a lot of people on Medicaid are the working poor, especially in Center County. Center County has the lowest unemployment, but they have the highest underemployment, and it's because of our restaurants and our hotels and the hospitality industry for the most part. Mm-hmm. So 20 hours of work, and again, a lot of the folks in Center County on Medicaid will, because of their income, aren't going to lose their Medicaid. 20 hours of of my all-time favorite, which is engaged in employment and career and technical education. And we pay for that. And in fact, the states have resources to be able to, if there's extenuating circumstances, you just can't find child care or something like that, the states will have a waiver ability to waive that requirement. I hope they don't. The states also have the ability to provide for child care and transportation. That's what they really need, because, you know, these folks need, you know, we want them to be able to find greater opportunity, right? And the third one, believe it or not, if there are not enough job opportunities, which is not the case today, 9 million jobs available across the country, you could do 80 hours average volunteer work. Since you're out there, you're networking, maybe you'll find yourself a job through that volunteer work. And so it's a pretty deceitful headline. The headline shouldn't say, if you're able to work, you should be working.
All right. The Israel-Iran war, and it's a war. They're shooting back and forth at each other every day now. What's your opinion on that? Should the U.S. somehow get more involved?
I don't think we need to. Just stay out of Israel's way. Israel, my impression is, this one's for keeps. Israel is well on its way to devastating Iran's nuclear capabilities. If you did a survey of all of Iran's neighbors, they're all pretty happy with this. They don't want a nuclear weaponized Iran. And it's not the people of Iran. I feel for them. I think if you surveyed those folks, they're pretty happy with this, other than, you know, because Israel's being really careful targeting facilities, military facilities, nuclear development facilities. This is not a good time to be a nuclear scientist and live in Iran.
No doubt.
Because you've got a target on your back. Iran, though, is shooting ballistic missiles into residential neighborhoods and apartment buildings. It just shows you how evil they are. We know that Iran has been funding their proxies, the Houthis and others around the world, that really have cost us American lives, because they've been shooting missiles at our ships and our bases, killing American soldiers now for a couple years. Israel is in this war to finish it.
Are you as impressed as I am with just how effective out of the gate this attack has been? I mean, it is remarkable, the intel that they obviously were able to get and the inside relationships that they somehow formed to be able to pull this off. Gathering the group together that they did, let's get together. We gotta all get together. They get them all together and boom, take them out. I mean, I feel like history books are going to be written in the future about just how amazing this operation
is. Yeah, the intel, the planning, and the execution, right?
Fantastic.
I mean, they got vehicles into Iran. They had a significant number of, I don't know how many drones that were in Iran.
Yep.
The amount of time that this took, I think you're right. They'll be, at the very minimum, they'll be teaching this in Carlisle,
yeah,
at our war college,
yeah,
for the future. In terms of, the application of technology that was utilized, and I think, I'm really proud of the fact. I mean, war is awful, and there's always, always innocence but it has been minimized in Iran. And I think that's one of the reasons where, at least based on what I'm hearing, the populace of Iran is really in favor of this. I thought it was interesting. I can't deny or confirm, quite frankly, that, I know that President Trump would have been asked by Bibi Netanyahu, who I've met with personally in the past, on whether to obviously go ahead with the execution, and obviously the President Trump didn't get in the way of that. I think it's probably true. I don't know. That he also vetoed taking out the religious leader.
Yeah.
That would be a situation where, you take out one individual and three more rise up. We've seen that in, recent decades with the conflicts that we've been in. And so, I think I saw some reports about how Iran was looking to President Trump as a decisive leader to provide some intervention.
All right.
Which is he's the guy that Iran has had a contract out on.
Oh yeah.
For 10 years to try to assassinate.
This situation in Minnesota with this person going and shooting and killing a state legislator and her husband and shooting another person and his
senator,
wife and apparently went to two other elected officials' homes that night or whatever.
Oh, I hadn't heard that.
This is scary stuff. Do you want to wipe your home address from the records? Because this is bizarre. What do you think about this?
Well, it is. It's absolutely frightening, actually. I mean, this is an individual that, it's going to be interesting to see what the profile is altogether. This is a guy, actually was appointed to, I think, the State Workforce Investment Board by a previous Minnesota governor and reappointed by Governor Waltz. Talk about planning. The vehicle that he replicated into a police
looked like a police
SUV.
Car. Yeah.
And, he had the whole No King flyers in the back of his car, and supposedly, I don't know, we'll see. This former Speaker of the House, the woman's representative that was murdered, that died, and her husband, she and the state senator had voted against providing something for illegal immigrants in Minnesota. Both Democrats it's scary. It really is. I had a monthly conference call with my district staff yesterday, and one thing I just shared with them is I want them to be safe, because you just don't know in this day and age. I get concerned for my staff, certainly for if I'm out at a public event that's advertised, and it's probably best not to do that, not to advertise. I'm still meeting with folks. I'm a road warrior, but best not to broadly advertise it, because I'm concerned for my constituents. We saw that with Gabby Gifford in Tucson, where she was at a hall and it didn't plan well. There was a blocked entrance it's some concerning times right now. There's no doubt about it. I mean, serving in public service, which has always been an honor, just a real honor to be able to do, and I'm looking forward to continuing it while I'm obviously making a difference. But it does come with risk.
Mr. Ironhead, you got anything? Because we're out of time.
I see that. No, thank you so much for the time. And it is concerning times, but also very exciting
times. Very exciting times, that's right.
No doubt about it.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Well, Jeff Scott, thank you both so much for the opportunities to be able to come in and spend some time with you. I look forward to coming back. Let me know when.
Absolutely. We
wrestling season.
There you go. It's coming fast.
He wants to do adult wrestling.
I said I'd be winded after about 20 seconds.
All right. Well, hey, safe travels, and thanks for coming in.
No, my pleasure. Thanks so
much. Appreciate it.